You're listening to The David Knight Show. Using free speech to free minds. It's The David Knight Show.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday, December 30th, 2019. My name is Harrison Smith, sitting in for David Knight today and probably tomorrow as well as David recovers from a routine surgery. Welcome to one of the last shows of the 2010s. We close out the decade and we close out the year looking back on those two time periods and reflecting as to how things have progressed. I think as history goes, the 2010s may be seen as sort of a forgotten decade, as the 2000s almost were. I mean, maybe it's just because I'm getting older and the way I perceive time has changed, but it's absolutely astounding to me that the 1990s are to kids being born today as the 1960s were to me being born. It's mind-blowing. Or 1970s, I suppose. But either way, it's been quite a decade. I have to say, we started this decade halfway through the second presidential administration of George W. Bush. 2012, of course, was the much prophesied December 21st, end of the world by the Mayan calendar. And the Mayans might have been right. You know, in retrospect, looking back at what has happened since 2012, maybe something occurred and maybe we just all missed it that has thrown the world into a massive loop. And now looking into a slightly smaller range of time, last year, this past year, 2019, has been a year of awakening, I think. It's been a year of masks coming off of all of these people and all of these positions of power who for so long have said, no, we're here for the benefit of all and we love everyone and we're just trying to, you know, make America better. The mask has come off and they basically said, if you don't agree with us, we're going to destroy you. And just everything from tech censorship to gun control to abortion, it's mask off, gloves off, right? For so long we heard, we just want common sense gun control, common sense gun control. We don't want to take your guns. Nobody's coming to take your guns. And of course, in 2019, Beto tried to save his flailing and failing presidential campaign by coming out and saying, yeah, we're going to come take your guns. We're going to come take your guns. Same way that we've been saying forever, you know, abortion is about the destroying of a human life. And basically what they're pushing for is post-birth abortion. They're pushing to just destroy any semblance of humanity we have left in our population. And this year, yeah, you had Ralph Northam, governor of Virginia, still, right, reelected governor of Virginia, coming out and saying, yeah, we'll have post-birth abortions. Yeah, we'll make the baby comfortable and do the deed after they're out in the world. So just everything, on every aspect, the gloves are off, the masks are off. It was a year of awakening for a lot of people, I believe. And I think 2020 is going to be a year of the backlash. I think it's going to be a very exciting year. I've talked about it multiple times on this program and the War Room, of course, and Off Limits. My at one point was a daily podcast. I've been sitting in for InfoWars host so much, I haven't had time to actually come out with a new episode recently. But I think I will be airing today on 9:30 a.m. The Answer on San Antonio, thanks to Tony Arterburn, who has sat in at this seat before. But this is, yeah, this is the year of awakening, and I think next year will be the year of the backlash. And we're seeing it from the Groypers and Nick Fuentes, this young, optics-obsessed, but very far-right group calling out the neocons and the conservative ink on one side. And on the other side, you have diehard libertarian militia members fighting for the Second Amendment in Virginia. All of these flowing currents are all coming to a head in 2020, I think we can look forward to a very exciting year. I hope you stay tuned to InfoWars because we'll be covering it every step of the way. Of course, the presidential election will be the keystone, the capstone of all of these events. So very exciting times. Of course, I'll be breaking down some of the headlines over the past weekend, and I have a ton of videos for you. Don't go anywhere, folks. This is the David Knight Show. This is Harrison Smith, Infowars.com/show.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Good morning, good morning. It is the 30th of December, 2019. This is the David Knight Show. Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight today and probably tomorrow as well. A lot of stuff has happened over the weekend. A lot of violence. A lot of sort of, I don't want to call it iconic, but what's the word I'm looking for? You know, it's a lot of stories that are very typical. It's like we're ending the year on the lowest note. It's like the lowest common denominator. There are multiple either anti-religious or racist attacks, mass shootings, mass stabbings, the insanity that has followed behind it. We will get into all of it and more. Of course, one of the good things that we're seeing is pushback against these Democratic politicians. I mean, after years and years of Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi and AOC saying, get in their faces, you got to make Republicans uncomfortable. Finally, the Democrats are getting a taste of their own medicine. We have videos of Nancy Pelosi being confronted not once but twice in her home state of California. Biden being called a pervert and told to stop touching kids at a campaign stop. So those are some great videos that we will be getting to later in the day. And of course, we'll be talking about the violence that occurred over the weekend and even before. All sorts of news. All sorts of news to be covering today. But I wanted to first go to this video. This is Tucker Carlson. I believe he was speaking in front for the National Review. Anyway, it's an interview of him. And he is talking about the response that the establishment has to truth tellers. And I just thought this was so poignant. What he has to say. Tucker Carlson has been a total champion. He's like MVP of 2019. He's really come into his own and been a voice that is sorely lacking in the mainstream media. And almost, it seems like every week another video is coming out of him, not on his show, but in some other forum, really making some great points about whatever it is he's talking about. He's, again, really come into his own. So here's a video. This is Tucker Carlson saying the people who are threats are never engaged directly.
By the way, in Washington, again, it is increasingly true, though it always has been true, the more sort of reviled you are, the more sort of written off you are by all the cool kids, the more likely you are to be saying at least something that's true. And here's how you always know. The people who are a threat to the way things are almost never engaged directly. You almost never hear the following. Well, you know, he made a point, and that's wrong for these six reasons. It's always, that guy's a nutcase. You know, racist! He's a bigot! Okay, yeah, I'm sure he is. Lots of people, you know, whatever. I'm not that interested, actually. Like, what is he saying? Do you know, can you rebut the case that he is making to the extent he's making one? Like, what's wrong with the idea he just threw up in the air?
See, this is what we've been facing here at InfoWars and on the right wing for a very long time. And I think you can't put it more succinctly than that. It's pretty simple. They don't want to confront our ideas, comport with our ideas, face our ideas head on, because they would lose. And we've known this forever. And so what we've done here a lot of times is dissect their manipulations, dissect the skeevy ways in which they are able to just avoid having those conversations. They just pretend that their side is the self-evident side, and that anybody who dares question it is an evil, racist, conspiracy monger, right? So I think, again, 2019 is the year that that whole charade, that whole facade of we're the smart ones, we'll tell you what to do, you don't need to listen to anybody else, just listen to the mainstream media, anybody who questions it is a kook. And we've seen this fall off in 2016, 17, 18. But 2019 was the year that really the gloves came off. We started the year with what? The Women's March. Of course, we also started the year with the March for Life. And guys, maybe y'all can find this. I don't have it on the video list, but just search March for Life time lapse, because this is something that didn't get talked enough. It got overshadowed, right, by the Covington kid debacle and fiasco, where again, falsities were put forward as self-evident truths, as these racist kids were making fun of. So here, if you're a television viewer, you're seeing the March for Life from beginning to end 2019 time lapse. And it is an endless stream. I mean, just the entire road is packed. Millions and millions of people streaming by in this parade. I mean, you can't count this number of people. It's unbelievable. It's astonishing how many people went to Washington, D.C. and marched against abortion. And yet we didn't hear about that at all. We didn't hear about that at all. So this, it ties into everything, right? The media manipulation. You can have millions of people going to Washington, D.C., marching against abortion, making their pro-life stance known. And it's like it never happened, right? If it's not reported on, if it's not made the focus of news reports, if it's not spread, if the information doesn't get out there, it's like it never happened. It's like they never went there. It's like they don't exist. It's like nobody is actually against abortion, because all you hear, because on that same day or the day after, was the Women's March. And the Women's March was the headline everywhere. Women's March, well, you heard that everywhere. Of course, their actual attendance was far less than the March of Life. But this is the fiat reality that we live in. Our reality is not reality. Our reality is the vision shaped for us by the media masters who are at the behest of their deep state mockingbird controllers. So, and if you haven't seen, if you are a radio listener, I beseech you, I beg you, go search March for Life 2019 time lapse, and you'll see the unbelievable showing that this pro-life march had. And that's how we started the year. That was January of 2019. Of course, what overshadowed that was the Women's March, which, what did they accomplish? What were they actually protesting? Right? March for Life, pretty simple, against abortion. They want to stop abortion. They want to limit abortion. They want to make it known that abortion is not a good thing to be celebrated. Like Michelle Wolf says, I feel like I'm a god when I do this. Or, I'm sorry, it's Michelle Wolf. I feel like I'm a god. That's how she talks. But we ignore that, right? Forget that. Covington kids totally overblown it, right? These evil white Trump-supporting high schoolers, white privilege, were yelling and getting in the face and mocking this elder statesman native person. And of course, then it came out that the reality was that these white kids who were there for the March for Life were actually being attacked and confronted by black Hebrew Israelites, and then were basically rushed at, confronted by this activist, this serial liar, stolen valor fraud, elder native statesman guy, Nathan whatever. That's how we started the year. What else happened in January of last year? Poor Jussie Smollett was attacked at 2 a.m. He was nearly lynched, I tell you, in the streets of Chicago at 2 a.m, a.k.a. MAGA country. This is how we started the year. Covington kids, March for Life, Women's March, Jussie Smollett, AOC, Ilhan Omar, right, 3 out of 4 of the members of the squad, the woke squad, are now under financial investigation for financial improprieties of their congressional campaigns or senatorial campaigns. Total frauds, total hacks, right? Total puppets, openly. Right, you have AOC giving speeches or giving interviews where she's like asked something that she doesn't know about. And she's like, I'm going to have to go back and ask my controllers about that. Like, she literally says that. So she doesn't say controllers. She says whatever her, you know, communistic euphemism is for that. But yes, her puppet masters. So this is all open. So this is how we started the year. And it has only continued since then. The, reputation of the mainstream media has only degraded. The frauds have only stacked upon fraud. The hate crime hoaxes outnumber the hate crimes. It's all coming apart. So as we continue through today's program, we'll be looking back at 2019 to see the fraudulency that has taken place, the frauds that have occurred over the last year. And we'll look forward into 2020 and the 2020s, the next year and decade, make a couple predictions, couple hopeful predictions, couple devastating predictions. We'll be taking your calls and getting the predictions from the InfoWars audience Again, this is the David Nye Show. We'll be back on the other side of this commercial break to cover the attacks, the Hanukkah celebration stabbing, and the church shooting here in Texas on the other side. So don't go anywhere, folks. Favorite story of the past year? Was it Greta Thunberg coming out of nowhere and becoming the spokesperson for so-called climate change activism? Was it Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the woke squad? Was it the inexperienced, rather slow-witted waitress who was brought into the U.S. Congress, or perhaps the polygamous illegal immigrant Muslim that was elected to Congress, or was it Rashida Tlaib? You think she was a better bartender than she is Congresswoman? Who's to say? Who's to say? Was it Jussie Smollett and the hate crime hoaxes? Was it the whole fact that we began the year with the government shutdown and Trump trying to get money for the wall, trying to declare a national emergency, a national crisis at the border, only to be told he's making it up, only to be told there is no caravan after, well, caravan after caravan are brought in, causing him to have to buy McDonald's and Chick-fil-A for the football champions. It's been a crazy year, folks. It's been a crazy year. I want to hear from you about what you thought the best story of the last year was, your predictions into the future. And yes, we are turning over a decade, so we'll expand beyond the year to the decade on either side. I'm going to open up the phone lines. Number is 1-888-201-2244, 1-888-201-2244. Give us a call here at the David Nye Show, and we'll take your calls. Now, we end this year with two very sad stories. Gunman kills two at White Settlement Church. White Settlement is the name of the town here in Texas, before two members fatally shoot him. Now, I'm going to show you this video in a second. There is a warning I should give. It is rather violent. It happens rather quickly. There's not a lot of blood or anything, but you are about to see the truth, the reality of violence. As you see, one man shot with a shotgun before that gunman is shot down by a security guard there in church. And then, of course, the other story was the stabbing at the Hanukkah celebration in New York City. And we'll get into that as well. And really the absurdity behind the coverage of these two stories. Very strange. We'll show you this video, but it is shocking. It is not something that should be viewed by kids. And guys, y'all want to turn down the clip a little bit. The gunshots are quite loud in this video. And if you haven't seen this, I'll tell you what to look for. You'll see in the upper corner, sort of in the center of the screen, you'll see the shooter. It looks like he's sitting in a pew. He gets up. He starts to, it looks like, talk to maybe a security guard or a parishioner there. And he pulls out a shotgun and levels it at the guy's chest. And you can actually see the guy. It looks like the guy who gets shot is armed. And he starts to reach for a gun and perhaps, you know, unfortunately, a little bit too slow. And you'll hear two gunshots. Those are the two shotgun shots, followed quickly by a third shot, which was from across the room, the security guard. You'll see on the left side of the screen as we watch this. But this is the reality of where we are now. I mean, this is not, unfortunately, not a rare thing. I mean, if you search on Google, if you search you know, Texas shooting at Texas church. First one comes up is Sutherland Springs. It's not even this one. So many have occurred, you know, recently. But, you know, it's also interesting the way that this is being covered has nothing. There is no discussion about why this happened, about hatred directed towards Christians or towards white people. You'll see as we go to this video, a large majority of the parishioners there in the church are elderly white people. But very little discussion about the motive of the attacker, which is a stark contrast to the Hanukkah stabbing, in which race and ethnicity is the primary focus and the motivation is expanded on extensively in a incredibly bizarre way, where you have a black guy stabbing Jewish people and white people being blamed. This is just typical, I guess, of where we are now. But what is being talked about, at least a little bit, at least on the alternative right, at least on the alternative media, is the fact that these were gun-carrying, you know, legal gun-carrying citizens in the church who stopped this mass murder, who saved God knows how many lives. Two members, two people have been killed by this gunman. But who knows how many more would have been killed if not for the heroic fighting back of the gunman there in the church. So we're going to go to this video now. Again, warning for our sensitive viewers, this is rather intense. But let's go ahead and roll that video. And you can see it's completely silent. There you can see in the upper kind of left-hand corner, the guy looks like he's wearing a wig. He takes out the shotgun. And you see the first shot. There's the second, and there's the third, which takes down the shooter and the chaos and fear that ensues. Absolutely terrifying. You know, I can't imagine what it'd be like to be in that church at that moment. It's amazing that we have this footage. I mean, high definition quality footage of this happening, so we see exactly what happens. No, this is a false flag. No, you know, what really happened. We saw exactly what happened. And, you know, God bless that security guard. Quick thinking, quick acting, quick trigger finger. Gun out, leveled, perfect form. Shoots the guy one shot, takes him down, and takes him out. That is heroism. That guy is absolutely a hero. Calling it the shot guided by God. In this article you'll find on InfoWars as well as Daily Wire, Biden attacked Texas governors for signing law letting churchgoers carry guns. He calls it totally irrational. And in fact, if you look back at that video, the security guard who shot him was, of course, armed. But you see at least three other people in that church have their guns out and at the ready seconds after that first shot is fired. So it wasn't enough to prevent the tragedy entirely. Two innocent people now dead because of that gunman in the church. So it is a tragedy. But how much less of a tragedy is it since regular, law-abiding American citizens were allowed to be armed and defend themselves? The liberals, Democrats were to have it their way. How many more of these people that we see in this video right now would not be going home to their families? I mean, look at that. I see at least three people with guns. God bless Texas. We'll be back on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
This is Harrison Smith filling in for David Knight on the 30th of December, 2019. Talking about this church shooting at White Settlement here in Texas. MedStar spokeswoman Makara Trusty soon reported that the gunman and one of his victims had died at the hospital. The second victim was resuscitated after going into cardiac arrest on the way to the hospital, but authorities announced at an evening news conference that the person died later. Now, in November of 2017, there was the shooting at Sutherland Springs, Texas church, where 26 people died and 20 more were injured. That shooting as well, of course, was ended by a regular citizen with a gun. You chased the man out of the church using an AR-15. He was I believe he was the head of his local NRA chapter, if I'm not mistaken. So the tragedy is that two men are dead as a result of this senseless violence. Silver lining is that it could have been much, much worse if not for the heroic and brave actions of the security team there at that church. Absolutely incredible. And then, of course, I mentioned it before we went to break. Biden attacked Texas governor for signing this into law, letting churchgoers carry guns. He called it totally irrational. Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden attacked Texas Governor Greg Abbott earlier this year for signing a bill into law that allowed lawful gun owners to carry firearms in places of worship, repeatedly calling Abbott's decision irrational. So I'll show you a video later today of Joe Biden being confronted, being heckled at one of his events. Of course, we saw one last week, I believe, or the week before here in Austin. A brave info warrior stood up against Joe Biden. This is what I want to see. I want to see people ask him, do you condemn that guy? Do you condemn the security guard that shot the shooter in White Settlement? Will he condemn it? Will he stand by his statement? Was it irrational for that guy to have a gun? If Joe Biden had his way, how many more people in White Settlement would be dead today? How many more innocent churchgoers would have been shot in cold blood? And you can see in that video, people's instinct is to get down, is to hide. I can't blame them, right? You hear a gunshot go off in the middle of your prayer. You know, what are you going to do? Think rationally? No, you're going to just hide and your fight or flight reflex goes into effect. But, you know, maybe this is why you just need on a personal level to train yourself and train your own mind to get out, to either fight back or get out. Because you see the people hide and basically you see everybody, the universal, you see a couple people sort of going for the door there. That's the smart move. Because if there had not been other armed parishioners here in the church, how many of these people who are hiding, I mean, those pews aren't going to save you. The guy's going to go pew to pew, aisle to aisle. And it's as many bullets as he has, he'll be taking people out. So thank God these people had guns. But if it was up to Joe Biden, they wouldn't have. If it was up to Joe Biden, dozens of people likely would have been dead. So next time you want to confront Joe Biden, ask him to condemn that guy. And I'd love to get that guy's name, whoever actually ended the threat. There are two guys that quickly pulled out their guns and shot the shooter. Maybe I'll find his name, because that guy's a hero. And I'd love to see him ask Joe Biden. Go up and say, you know, earlier this year, I saved untold numbers of lives because I had my gun in my church. You didn't want me to have that. Will you apologize to me? Will you admit that you're wrong? Can we get Joe Biden to say, you know what? I'm glad that guy had that gun. I'm glad he stopped that shooter. Do you think the law would have stopped the shotgun wielder? Maybe that's what it'll go. Maybe Joe Biden will say, well, if my law had passed, that guy with the shotgun wouldn't have been there. It's bullcrap. It's BS. He wanted to disarm the lawful gun owners. Later asked if there could be any compromises with Republicans on this issue. Biden responded, no, none on this. I think this is no compromise. This is one we just have to push and push and push and push and push and push. Just pushing to disarm you, pushing to leave you helpless, pushing to let you die at the hands of a madman in church. CNN reported on the bill that went into law on September 1st, 2019. Senate Bill 535 clarifies the possession of firearms at churches, synagogues, and other places of worship. It allows licensed handgun owners to legally carry their weapons in places of worship, and it comes nearly 2 years after a gunman killed 26 people at Sutherland Springs Church. And again, there has not been even the opening of the discussion of, is this anti-Christian? Is this anti-white? Of course, the FBI is looking into the guy's motive. We may hope to maybe see a result on that, but we never hear about it. Well, we'll never hear about it. It won't be brought up. It won't be a center of discussion. It'll be brushed under the rug, if anything. But we need to start taking this seriously. And I think this is one of my predictions for 2020, is we're going to see an awakening. And we have videos I'll go to later today. Nancy Pelosi being confronted, Joe Biden being confronted, Madeleine Albright being confronted, parents standing up and taking their kids out of public school over transgenderism. Transgenderism is another main one that occurred over the last year, where it's just masks off, gloves off, your kids have no privacy, we're going to indoctrinate them, you can't stop us, we'll take them away if you try. That happened this year. That was a big revelation. So I think in 2019 it went too far. And I think in 2020, we'll see the backlash. Now, all of this stuff that has gone too far, we've been warning about since day one, since before it happened. We said this is coming down the line, the transgenderism, the immigration stuff, the racism, the hatred being stoked up by the mainstream media against white people, against Christians. We've said for years that this stuff is happening and that we need to stop it now so it doesn't result in the inevitable backlash, right? There's two options. The people who are being attacked, people like you and me, people who are here who literally just want to be left alone, who love everyone and just want to see all of this division go away. And so we can come together as Americans under the benefits and the fruits and the bounty that is brought by the blessings of freedom, right? That's what we want. That's what we stand for. But we're seeing our society nitpicked and torn apart piece by piece by these hate mongers, by these just blatant, overt racists. And we've been saying forever, just stop, just leave us alone. Just don't push us. Just stop pushing all of this crap and it'll be fine. But they can't. They can't stop. Like Joe Biden says, they just have to push and push and push and push and push. 2020 is going to be the year that we push back. And it's not a good thing. I'm not saying this in a celebratory way. I wish it hadn't come to this. I wish you would have listened before and we could have stopped the immigration. We could have stopped the so-called migrant crisis. We could have stopped the ever-increasing, spiraling out of control, fomenting of hatred that has occurred. But it's gone so far that now we got to fight back. We're going to have to fight back. We're going to have to push back. And that's going to happen. Whether we like it or not, it's going to happen. People are sick of it. And again, I'll show you videos, people finally standing up against this. Now, we have to fight back in the right way. We have to push back in the right way. We have to be smart about it. We have to do it, effectively, and we have to do it, through the system, and we have to do it in a way that we understand that we are not in charge anymore, right? The Christian, traditional American people are not in charge anymore. We have been supplanted. We have been taken over by an international element, the banking cabal. We have been we are now subjects of them. So we have to understand that just fighting back wildly, haphazardly, will only make things worse. So my prayer is that in 2020, as we fight back, as we push back, as we try to bring back some semblance of balance and logic and reason and love and Christianity and universalism back to the American people, back to the ways it sort of used to be back before, the 2010s and the 2000s, back in the 90s, which sort of seemed like the peak of civilization, believe it or not, looking back, hopefully we can do it smartly. Hopefully we can do it intelligently, and hopefully we'll win. Regular listener of this show, you are certainly aware of the phrase fiat currency. And I hope that you understand what I mean when I say we live in a fiat reality. Fiat, of course, means by decree. And that's where we live. We do not live in a world that is dictated by the reality of the world around us. We live in a world where reality is dictated by the makers of reality, the framers of reality, the mainstream media, the Kabbalistic and totally monolithic structure of the American information pathways, right? And of course, there was a show yesterday, NBC's Meet the Press, just had a ridiculous show, sort of a last gasp of the 2020s, trying to blame InfoWars, Drudge, Rush Limbaugh, Gateway Pundit for intentionally spreading bad information. And see, in their crooked, nonsense, backwards, twisted world, they believe that if you just tell the truth, you're lying. If you just say what you see, if you just tell the truth, if you just speak reality, that's bad. That's intentionally misinformation. That's intentional misinformation because to them, again, in their false reality, they believe that you have to include this critical theory, like anti-colonialist, communistic, socialistic, academic filter through which you see everything. That's to them, that's reality, is seeing the world through these multicolored lenses of race and sex and class and a distorted view of history. That's reality to them. But if you just say if you just say reality, that's falsehoods. That's misinformation. They're insane, and they're making you insane. They're gaslighting you. It's incredible. Of course, going back to the attacks on religious institutions over the last weekend, there was, of course, the stabbing in Muncie, which is in New York. The attacker screamed, "I'll get you," he had a machete. They described it as large as a broomstick, which is huge. This guy attacked a rabbi's house while they were celebrating Hanukkah. Absolutely tragic. I believe that everyone survived, although he injured five people. He's been charged with five counts of attempted murder. There's so much insanity about this. So here's what we know about it so far. When he was caught, the intruder was still covered in the blood of his victims, five Hasidic Jews he had stabbed wildly with a machete. The toll might have been worse if those who had assembled had not fought back, hitting the intruder with pieces of furniture, forcing him to retreat. You know, good on them. Fighting back, a guy actually threw a table at the guy in order to drive him back. Really, it must have just been insane and chaotic, and there was true heroism from the from Joseph Gluck and others who were there, victims of this. This is in the New York City suburbs. A statement issued Sunday night by a lawyer, Michael Sussman, in the name of the family, said Mr. Thomas, the person who carried out this attack, quote, had a long history of mental illness and hospitalizations and no known history of anti-Semitism. After the attacker left the rabbi's home, he tried to enter a synagogue next door, which is led by the rabbi whose house it was. He was unable to get in. They had locked the door because they heard the commotion. And so he drove away and was found covered in blood, trying to bleach his car, apparently. He smelled like bleach. This guy's insane. It's a black guy. But don't let that stop you from blaming white people, though. Here's another crazy part. Muncie stabbing suspect was arrested at least seven times since 2001. So just if you look at just the attacks in the last couple days, What has worked? What has worked is people fighting back, defending themselves, people having, you know, regular citizens having legally owned firearms inside a church and fighting back, saved untold numbers of lives. These the rabbi and his guests in his house fighting back against this guy. What has caused some of this to happen? Well, I would say that maybe we should look into the Christophobia. Maybe we should look into the anti-Christian sentiment that is pushed constantly everywhere and is not only not fought back against, but is amplified and elevated by the mainstream media. I'm not a big proponent of the victim culture, but let's have a semblance of fairness when it comes to the covering of what could have motivated an attack on one side at a synagogue and another side at a church. Maybe they have something in common. Right. But on one side, we'll see talks about anti-Semitism. Good. You should talk about that. If that's what motivated this attack, maybe that's an issue. Maybe you need to talk about that. Well, at the same side, maybe all of the rabid anti-Christian sentiment that is going on from every angle, right? You have Netflix producing stuff about Jesus being gay. You have just all of this anti-Christ material. Antichrist material, that's what it is. It's the Antichrist faction. And but there's never even the discussion of that, right? It's literally not even brought up that that might be a motivating factor in what caused a guy to shoot up a church. So maybe we can have a little bit of equality there. But the Muncie stabbing suspect was arrested at least seven times since 2001. So what's another source of this violence? What's another aggravating component of the violence that we see? Well, it's tolerance. It's tolerance. It's a lack of discipline. It's a lack of punishment. It's a lack of policing. It's a lack of, preventative measures, like sending criminals to jail. That was another thing we saw this year. Places in California, places like Dallas, saying we're no longer going to arrest people who steal less than something like $750. And you see a massive increase in petty crime. And so here you see a guy stabbing five people, just a horrific attack on innocent people. But he's been arrested seven times since 2001. So maybe that's something else we need to look at. Maybe we need to stop. And again, it's like the liberals, the Democrats, they want you to see the opposite of reality. In their mind, it's like this guy, he should have never been arrested once. Like, he's been arrested seven times. It was probably racist. We should have let him go immediately. Like, it's insane. It's insane, their response to certain things. So he's been arrested seven times since 2001. There were attacks on Jewish New Yorkers almost every day last week. This story is from Pix 11, a local news channel there in New York. They listed it down Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and the anti-Semitic attack that happened on each one of those days. Again, what they don't mention is almost all of those attackers were black people. Very interesting. That's not mentioned. It would be in any other case. It'd be used as a glaring example of white supremacy if these attackers were white, but they're not. That won't stop them, though. Andrew Cuomo: Trump is fomenting hate. Now we see it in the Hanukkah attack. So Donald Trump is being blamed for this attack. Okay, that doesn't make any sense here. This is a Twitter thread by Erin Bibba. She's a freelance science journalist. She's worked for such esteemed publications as National Geographic, BBC, Scientific American, NBC News, Popular Science, Gizmodo, Earther, Dame, Wired, and others. She is a fact checker. She checks facts. That's what she does. She checks facts. What does she have to say about the anti-Semitic stabbing? She says, this is Erin Bibba, quote, "Sowing division amongst minority groups serves white supremacy." See, it's all about, see, when a black guy attacks Jewish people, the white people are to blame. "Minorities share the enemy of white supremacy." So you can just scratch out supremacy and write people here. So "minorities share the enemy of white people" is what she's trying to express. "And they make powerful allies in each other. Black Jews are having an extremely difficult time right now, and I stand with them as members of my tribe and allies in the fight." You see the language of division, the language of us versus them, the language of in versus out groups is just saturated in this fact checker's diatribe. She says, "I absolutely refuse to stand by and watch silently as anyone who uses these attacks against Jews that have happened across New York and New Jersey as an excuse to support their racism. Anti-Semitism is unacceptable, and so is racism." See, it's racist to point out that the attackers are black, even though the attacks were anti-Semitic. This is the nonsense that you have to deal with when your world is colored by preconceived notions of reality. And she says, "And one more time, in case you read it too fast, I'm sending love and solidarity to black Jews right now. Let's lift them up and show them kindness and support. They are a tribe, and we'll never feel safe in our own community. The situation in New York is massively complicated and represents growing division between two communities. What we need is solidarity with each other against our shared enemy of white supremacy." That, and again, you can scratch out supremacy and write people, and there you get a look into this fact checker's mind.
President Trump just got impeached, and we're here in New York City to find out how many people think that means he's no longer president. Let's see what they think. President Trump just got impeached yesterday. Are you excited for our new president, Mike Pence?
No, not excited for either one of them.
Okay. But that's going to be your president because he got impeached, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why aren't you excited?
Just not a fan.
Are you a fan?
Personally, I'm in the Army, so Commander-in-Chief is my Commander-in-Chief no matter what. So I can't really backlash anyone, but my Commander-in-Chief is whoever it's going to be.
All right, very cool. All right, well, he comes into office tomorrow. I hope everything works out for you.
Thank you, you too.
Are you excited for Mike Pence to come into the presidency tomorrow because Trump got impeached?
It's whatever, you know. Like, I don't really care about it, to be honest.
Okay. All right, because he's coming in tomorrow.
I know, but, like, we'll see what happens.
You heard that on the news, right?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Funny, you know.
You glad President Trump got impeached?
I'm really happy about that.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Are you glad that Obama's coming in to take his spot?
Oh, yeah. I'm really happy about that, too. I wish. I hope so.
I don't think. Yeah, that's what impeachment means, right?
Right.
Let's All right, Cookie happens. Monster. You are smart. President Trump just got impeached.
Yeah.
Are you guys excited for Mike Pence to take office tomorrow?
I don't want to answer that one.
Yeah, I don't really know.
Would you rather have Obama come in tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't
know. You heard that on the news, right?
Yeah, I did.
President Trump just got impeached yesterday. Do you think it's better for the country now that he's out of office?
Possibly, yes.
Okay.
Possibly, yes.
Debatable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a tricky one.
What?
It's a tricky one.
Yeah, I think people will take to him probably better than Trump in other countries, but... And he doesn't tweet as much, does he?
I love his tweets. Are they not funny? Do they not make you guys laugh?
Yeah, they do make us laugh.
I love Trump. I'm a Trump supporter.
Same but, here. I agree with my husband.
Well, the thing is, he got impeached by the House, right? So he still needs to go to the Senate or Congress. So they still have to impeach him from there.
Thank you for knowing what impeachment means.
Yes, and if he doesn't get impeached from there, then I guess he's still the president, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, you know what impeachment means. That's because he's a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
You're smart. You know what's going on.
I passed history with that B.
President Trump just got impeached. Did you hear?
Yes, mm-hmm. I did. I saw it on Snapchat.
Very cool news source. Very reliable news. All right. So, do you think it's better now that he's not in office anymore?
That's a hard one to say, honestly. He's done a lot of good and he's done some bad, so I can't really... It's a controversial topic, you know? Hard to say.
What do you think? He's out of office now. We don't even have a president right now anymore.
I agree with him being impeached. I mean, all the reasons why they impeached him, I get it.
Yeah, what's one reason?
How he withheld aid from the country in order to do the political bashing of Joe Biden and his family. It's kind of screwed up.
That's why he got impeached?
That was one of the reasons, yeah.
Right. And you heard on the news on Snapchat, right, that he's no longer our president.
I saw. I didn't
That's
read
Caitlin
much
Binney.
About
you can
it,
find
though,
that full video at Infowars.com or at band.video. Share that link around. Expose the silliness.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight on this, the 30th of December, 2019. We begin the second hour of the program now, and we will be going to your calls. The number to dial is 1-888-201-2244. Give us a call, 1-888-201-2244. We will be taking your calls this hour. In fact, I'll start by taking a call. Last hour, we were talking about the shooting in White Settlement, Texas. Aaron from Kentucky has a point about that. Thanks for calling in. Aaron, you are on the air.
Awesome show today, Harrison. Thank you so much for filling in, brother. You're doing a fantastic job.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for calling in.
You know, it's been said a lot of times that the gentleman who shot the shooter down in the Texas church was a security guard. But he was actually, although he was a retired police officer, he was a congregant in the church. And I think that's a very important thing that needs to be stressed, because in the culture we have right now, so many people are in this mode of having to be for some reason deputized or given permission by the government or recognized by the government to be able to protect our rights or stand up for ourselves or other people. But these were armed, they were educated, they were practiced Second Amendment exercising citizens of Texas. And I just think that that's something very important that we need to stress, because even after this, and I don't know if it was an accident or not, but after this, the pastor was giving a press, you know, conference, talking to the press, and in his statement to the press, he said that he appreciated the government giving them the ability to protect themselves. And
yeah,
that,
you know what, I saw that exact I saw that exact quote as I was reading the article today, and I just sort of didn't even want to mention it because I didn't want to, you know, criticize this guy. But at the end of the day, you're exactly right. He says, you know, I want to thank the government for allowing us, basically. And you want to be like, hey, man, it was God. God gave you that right. The government didn't give you that right. You're a pastor. You should maybe know this. That's a great point, man. It's a great point. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Keep going, Aaron.
Oh, no. Yeah, and you hit it right on the head, man. I mean, as a pastor, he should know more than anybody. And again, I'm exercise grace here as a fellow Christian. I'm hoping that he was just in the motion of the moment, you know, maybe misspoke. So we're going to hope that. So I'm not going to bash the guy.
Yeah.
But if that's ingrained in society that, oh, well, the government's given us this right to be able to protect ourselves. Well, the government actually, the statement really should have been, thank you to the government for getting out of our way and recognizing that we can take care of ourselves. Because within 6 seconds, that guy was taken down. 6 seconds. If you would have called 911, that guy would have emptied that gun. There would have been so much more death, and the shooter, if he didn't end his own life, could have gone out on another spree, like that other church shooting that happened, I think it was last year or back in 2017, and had to be stopped by another citizen. But anyway, yeah. So I think that there's so much here, and it really unfortunately shows you the how badly the citizenry has been beaten down to think that there is no other way to receive rights or no other way to protect ourselves unless Big Brother says you can do this. But I'm just thankful that those folks were educated and were able to stop this guy so quickly.
Yeah, I totally agree. You make a great point. And yeah, like I said, I saw that quote in an article earlier, and yeah, just sort of, you know, it's like, well, he just phrased it poorly, I guess, but you know, it points out the mindset that so many people are in, that we do, you know, that the government allows us to protect ourselves. No, just as you put, the government just got out of the way, and that allowed this citizen to defend itself. I did read that there were members of the church security group, but I've also read elsewhere that they were just parishioners. There's members of the congregation. The guy looked like a security guard to me. That's why I said, that's why I said I thought he was a security guard. But you can see at least three or four people in that little church have their guns out within seconds of that happening. And the other thing is that, you know, when that shooter, you can see the way he begins his spree that would have, as you say, you know, God knows, he would have emptied the clip. God knows how many people he would have shot. It would have been 10 minutes before the cops even got there. He probably would have been gone by that point. I mean, God knows how many lives were saved here. But you can see how confident he is. He didn't think for a second that there would be people with guns in that church. And that's the sort of, you know, when people think that it's a gun-free zone, when they think that they can act with impunity, that's how they act. You know, they're just going to come out shooting, nothing to worry about. I'm just going to kill as many people as I want. Well, you can't do that if somebody has a gun. So God bless those two heroic people in Texas and everybody else there who was ready, on their guard, well-trained, you know, no
absolutely
bullets flying everywhere else. That's fantastic stuff. Anything else before I let you go, Aaron?
Well, you know, and you covered it earlier as well, the glaring blindness. And I don't know if these jackanapes actually believe half the crap that they say, but you've got Joe Biden out there who says, who is actually getting on to the governor of Texas for, and again, quoting fingers, allowing weapons into houses of worship. I don't know if I have to think that they're just gaslighting us, because you're telling us that allowing weapons into a house of worship is what causes the danger. But it was the guys who had the weapons that stopped them, the good guys that had the weapons. That criminal is not going to listen to a house of worship. He's not going to listen to anybody. His mind is committed to evil. And to see that that Joe Biden goes attacks the governor, but doesn't say thank you to the man whose name, by the way, is Jack Wilson, the guy who saved the lives down there, who fired the terminating shot against the gunman. He doesn't say, Jack Wilson, thank you for being trained. Thank you for being vigilant. Thank you for saving lives. Thank you for being on guard. What he says is, the governor of Texas, did he shouldn't have done. I mean, the blinding idiocy of the liberal mindset absolutely boggles my mind. It shouldn't, but it does. And it seems like every day these guys come out with something else that trumps them even more. Like yesterday I said some really dumb crap. Today I'm going to compound that and say some even more dumb crap. It just seems like there's just this consistent blindness to the free citizenry and the government, and it completely it exposes them as being shills. It exposes them as being out of whack and totally out of lockstep with the freedom that we have here in the United States of America.
So well said, Aaron from Kentucky. Thank you so much for that call. And, you know, I'll remind you that one of Joe Biden's other kind of famous quotes was, just get a shotgun. Oh, just get a shotgun. You don't need all of these bullets. You don't need all of these rifles. Just get a shotgun. Well, what was that guy wielding? Sure looked and sounded a lot like a shotgun to me. So that's what that church shooter was wielding when he went in thinking he would be at his leisure to murder as many innocent Christians as he felt pleased. Well, unfortunately for him, and fortunately for everyone else, Jack Wilson, that's the name that Aaron in Kentucky just let us know. Jack Wilson, the hero, was there armed and well-trained and just reacted perfectly and brought down that shooter before he could bring more death and destruction to that innocent community. Amazing, amazing stuff. We'll go back out to more of your calls on the other side. I do need to mention this. It is the end of the year mega blowout sale on InfoWarsStore.com. What does that mean? That means that the insanity of our sales is only getting bigger, only getting better. Now, that might end come 2020. You got to take advantage of it now. You have but days left to take advantage of this absolutely incredible sale, the mega blowout sale for the end of the year on InfoWarsStore.com. 60% off BrainForce Plus, 75% off many other products, and free shipping. Folks, this is the way you stick to your New Year's resolutions. This is the way you better yourself in 2020. This is just something you can do that is easy. It takes no extra work at all. You have to buy toothpaste, right? You got to buy toothpaste. Everybody's got to buy toothpaste. Just buy it from us. It's literally that easy. It's literally that simple. Just buy it from us rather than Target, who's now getting rid of its boys and girls children's clothes. Buy it from us rather than, you know, all of these globalist organizations. Just buy from the good guys. You support what we do here. You support bringing you the truth, the unvarnished truth. Oh, and we'll get to Chuck Todd and his libelous slander on the other side. This is the Info War. Harrison Smith from the Central Texas World Headquarters of InfoWars.com. InfoWarsStore.com supports everything that we do here. Do your part. All right, folks. I got so many videos to show you, and I have so many stories to cover. And I have things I want to rant about. Where did I just put that? I just put a tweet. I set it to the side because I want to spend a whole long time on it. I want to really dig into this. So I think next semester, maybe I'll just rant extensively about this tweet. But I wanted to start off with it because it's a good intro to this next segment, what we'll be covering. This person who on Twitter goes by the handle Autistic Hoya says, quote, when I come across people who describe San Francisco as a leftist slash communist nightmare, I just laugh. San Francisco is a right-wing technocratic dystopian nightmare with a veneer of superficial progressivism, not so thinly veiling far-right ultra-capitalistic social Darwinism. This is insanity. This is insanity. To think that California or San Francisco in particular is right wing is insanity. And I will break this down fully in the next segment. But, you know, it's just, it's evidence of how, I mean, literally in their minds, they're like, good is left wing, bad is right wing. What's going on in San Francisco is bad. It must be right wing. Okay, well, every policy is left wing. Ah, it doesn't matter. It's bad, so it's right. I mean, these people are insane. But, of course, San Francisco is the headquarters. It's really the new capital of the world order, right? It's San Francisco. It's Silicon Valley. It's Facebook, Google, Twitter. These companies have more influence over the minds of humanity than anything that has come before in any country. I mean, they have more power by far. And how do they use that? Well, surprise, surprise, autistic Hoya, they don't use it to put forward right-wing ideas. They don't use it to elevate right-wing politicians and activists. No, they use it to absolutely dominate and censor them, including the president of the United States. Twitter censors President Trump's tweets exposing the Democrats. This story is on Infowars.com. Twitter has apparently censored President Trump's tweets exposing unhinged Democrats and highlighting his strong chances of winning the 2020 election. Several tweets by Trump in the last 24 hours do not appear on his personal Twitter homepage. On Friday at around 9 p.m., Trump tweeted out a video of Maine Democrat Richard Faulkman celebrating the rising number of suicides amongst white men. And we'll show you that video in just a moment. But as the Gateway pundit noted, the tweet cannot be found on Trump's homepage, though it is available when searched. In fact, Trump's tweet about liberal filmmaker Michael Moore predicting Trump's 2020 victory has also disappeared from Trump's feed. Additionally, several other tweets Trump made about First Lady Melania, Congresswoman Debbie Lesko, and far-left Rashida Tlaib also cannot be found on Trump's homepage. So this is something that they've played with over the last year. And again, 2020 was the year the masks, the gloves, they came off, right? Before it was, well, if you just violate our terms of service, then unfortunately we have to and it's not our fault. Now they're just like, no, we're censoring you. We're censoring you because we hate you, because you have the wrong ideas. Tim Cook of Apple says it's a sin. It's a sin to allow hateful people on your platform. Hateful, of course, meaning right wing. The story from Zero Hedge: Twitter scrubs viral Trump retweet of alleged hoax blowers, whistleblower's name. Now, the way CNN covered this was hilarious. It was like Trump tweeted the heretofore not totally undiscredited name of the supposed but not actually maybe whistleblower. It's like, yeah, it's the whistleblower. Just stop being squirrely little weasels and you can just talk like normal humans. You can say Trump tweeted the whistleblower's name. But it's like, by saying that, then they're acknowledging that that's actually the whistleblower. So they have to say, the person assumed to maybe be the whistle. It's like, just stop lying. Just stop being such liars and everything will be easier for you, you scumbags. Now, we're going to go to this video. This was one of the videos that was deleted off Trump's timeline. And then, I mean, there are people that are tracking it. It's like every other person Trump retweets gets their account deleted the next day. This is insane that President Trump retweets you and Twitter just goes in and deletes your account. I mean, these people are acting like they have no, I mean, it's just, oh my God. It's one of these things that's like, I'm a libertarian. I don't want the government necessarily taking over Twitter. Like, I don't want the government involved in this type of stuff because the government will just make it worse. I don't want that. However, we seem to be powerless to stop these all-powerful, totally abusive big tech companies who absolutely control every instance of communication in America. And they're pushing it more towards a world where you no longer even control the files on your computer. So you know what? If you want to look into the science behind transgenderism, or maybe you want to look up crime rates, statistics by race, you know, now you can't post that stuff online, right? And we've been so programmed to a point that now if you try to post something on Instagram, before you post it, a thing will pop up saying, are you sure you want to post this? You know, our algorithm is saying that it looks like it might violate the terms of service, so don't post it. And we're so Pavlovianly just degraded that we actually thank them. We say, thank you, Instagram, for not letting us post this, because it would have been a mistake and maybe would have gotten kicked off and something would have happened to our platform. So thank you for censoring us. At the same time that they're programming us to just accept and be thankful for the censorship, the pre-posting, the pre-publishing censorship, thank you, Instagram, for not allowing us to do damage to our own account, right? While they're doing that, they're also programming us to be okay with our files being in the cloud and not actually on our computer. And it's like you have to go in and with every update, they click the little button that says, don't keep my files on my computer, keep them only in the cloud. It's like, so how soon is it that Apple, who says it's a sin to allow racists to go into your files and go, oh, you're researching this that we don't want you to research? There he says, not banning those who violate our morality. What is his morality? I'd love to know. I haven't seen evidence of it, so I'd love to know what his morality is, where he gets it. It's a sin. It's a sin to allow these people. So he thinks it's a sin. Do you think he's just going to allow you to research uncomfortable truths? No, they're going to go in and delete it for your own good, and they're going to have you thanking them for it. This is the insanity. All right, I want to go to this video because, they delete it. I expose it. They want to try to bury something. I want to bring it to light. So here is this video of this Maine politician celebrating the suicide of white men.
Well, I've thought a lot about this, and I think the Maine, what we need in Maine is we need younger people. Take a look. It looks almost like a lecture for Social Security. Okay, so that's one thing. We really need to encourage as many young people. We also need more women. Today I saw a thing in that said a lot of men, white men, were committing suicide. And I almost thought, yeah, great.
Isn't that hilarious? I don't hear everybody laugh. How funny it is that white men are killing themselves. Hey, fella, what's this guy's name, this Maine politician? You know what? You're an old white man. Kill yourself. Kill yourself and laugh at it. Kill yourself and laugh at it, you old, hateful jackass. And they laugh. Can you imagine any other person getting laughed at for suicide?
Free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight. Trump tweeted out that video that we saw in the last segment of that human trash, Richard Faulkman. And, I mean, it's just the dishonesty, the scheming, the machinations that are going on. Like, it's gone too far. I'm so looking forward to the 2020 backlash. The more I think about it, the more I'm just like, yeah, we need the backlash. We need the backlash. It needs to be as extreme as it has to be. That's just the way it is. That's what it's going to take because the insanity of everything that goes on. Just this one story, right? You have a story of this guy, Richard Faulkman, who, by the way, should kill himself. You have him saying that he's happy that rates of white men killing themselves is increasing. That's a white man saying this, by the way. He is happy about this. And you hear a room full of Democrats laugh and cheer at this. Okay? Sickening. This is unbelievably sickening stuff. If you ever had video of Republicans saying, well, you know, the suicide rate of black people is going up. And I'm thinking, hey, good. I'm happy black people are killing them. And a room full of Republicans cheer. I mean, it's sickening, right? It's disgusting. And if you think about it differently, right? If you think about somebody saying this group of people is committing suicide at an increasing rate, that's good. And then a bunch of people laugh at that. If you think it's different for one group than another, then you're brainwashed. If you were to hear that exact same thing about black people and think, oh my God, I can't believe that person just said that. Then you hear it said about the group of white people and you go, they're committing suicide, idiot. Like, you're evil. You're brainwashed. You're wrong. Okay? My position is not a racist one. My position is not an inconsistent one. I'm pretty consistent about this. Groups of people and individuals need to be left the hell alone, and I want them all to thrive and do better. If you think that a sign that says it's okay to be white is somehow offensive, but it's okay to be black is not, you are brainwashed. You are wrong. You are evil, okay? This is just where I know. This is the sky is blue, okay? Fire is hot, and all people deserve to be judged on an individual basis. These are the most basic things ever, and yet we live in the Orwellian new world, a brave new world, you know, Aldous Huxleyan world, where we are taught the opposite of the truth. 2 + 2 = 5. You have to say it and you have to believe it, or you're the evil one. This is the level of the brainwashing. But this one story, again, has so much involved around it, right? So for one thing, President Trump retweets this video and he says, what type of animal is this? That's what he says when he retweets it. So you have already, you have so many different aspects of what's going on in the world. You have the racism, you have the anti-white racism, you have President Trump's Twitter. Then that Twitter gets deleted. It gets censored. That tweet gets censored. Then that user who posted that video, their account gets deleted, right? So there you have another aspect of this big tech censorship of censoring the truth, censoring reality, censoring our president, and eliminating the accounts of those who support him. So you have so much wrapped up in this. And then you go another step and you have this article from NBC, News Center Maine, verify inappropriate suicide-themed joke at Democratic Party event. Is that what I heard? Did I hear an inappropriate suicide-themed joke? I don't think so. I think I heard a person in all seriousness celebrate suicide. That was not a joke. There's nothing facetious about it. It was his real feelings. He heard that white men are suiciding themselves at an increased rate, and he said that's good. And everybody in the room laughed. Not because it was a joke, but because they agree, because they're evil. They are brainwashed. They think it's virtuous to celebrate the death of a group of people because they've been told by the communist-occupied academic world that has now seeped into the media and has become the mainstream standard platform that white people are evil. This is just being pushed out into the mainstream. Now, has this encouraged things like the shooting at the church yesterday? Maybe, but we're not ever going to talk about that. We're not ever going to hear whether or not that had an influence. So this is just, these are all of the facets of this, you know, jewel of bullcrap that we're looking at. The big tech censorship, the racism, the, you know, brazen hatred of the Democratic Party, the covering up, the softly wording, the soft pitch of the mainstream media. Well, it was a suicide-themed joke. No, it wasn't. It was laughing at the fact that white men are committing suicide at an unbelievable rate. Can y'all pull up that graph again? I didn't actually look at that graph while y'all pulled it up. For the radio listeners, we have there's a graph of the increasing suicide rates by demographic. There it is. Midlife mortality from deaths of despair across country. There's one line that is shooting up like a rocket. White non-Hispanics in the United States. Most other trajectories are going down. Some are inching slightly up. But one has absolutely catapulted, skyrocketed, okay? This is the sickness that is being purposely inbred into our society. And we aren't even able to have, support groups or whatever. If I were to say we need a special focus on white men because they're the ones who are committing suicide, oh, I'm a racist then. I'm bad, right? So, you know, Maybe I'm just projecting my own journey onto the wider world, but am I wrong? Am I wrong that this is the year that this whole facade has collapsed and 2020 will be the year that white people are going to no longer be cowed by the claims of racism, that we're just not going to go along with this academic, pseudo-intellectual, bullcrap, mind-washing, just system, the systematic destruction of the mindsets of and the souls of the American people Am I just projecting my own journey to self-realization onto America at large, or do you think this is a parallel path that many people in America are taking and realizing, yo, I stand up for everyone. I don't want anybody to be destroyed, but literally nobody else is standing up for me. Literally, there's one class of people that is absolutely fair game. Just demonize them, blame everything on them, destroy them openly, outright, celebrate it, right? I've rambled too much. I'll go to the video in the next segment. So we'll hear what presidential candidate Amy Klobuchar has to say about this, about the fact that white people are being actively, systematically replaced in their own countries. Because it's not, again, that was a conspiracy in 2018. 2019, it became the celebrated and unquestionable agenda of the Democrats, right? Everything, mask off, people. Mask is off. Gloves are off. Realize this or die. This is the, and again, this is just reality. I'm just bringing you the truth. I am just piercing through the mists of disinformation to bring you reality. Now, in our inverted fiat world, what I'm telling you is somehow dangerous. What I'm telling you is somehow hateful. What I'm telling you is somehow racist and misinformation, and I need to be shut down because I'm simply bringing you the truth and trying to reflect in some way what is being experienced by the world at large. It's absolutely insane. So I'll go to that video on the other side. If you haven't seen this, you're going to want to. This is Amy Klobuchar's message to white America, and we'll play that on the other side of the break, as well as Nancy Pelosi and John Biden. What's his name again? Joe Biden, that guy, that scumbag. They're getting confronted. The people are waking up. We're sick of it. We're not playing nice anymore. We're also not compromising our principles, okay? You're not going to make me hate anybody, but you're also not going to make me hate myself, all right? This is the new paradigm for 2020. Come on in. Let's go to this video. This is Amy Klobuchar's message to white people from the latest Democratic debate.
The United States is expected to be majority non-white within a generation. What do you say to white Americans who are uncomfortable with the idea of becoming a racial minority, even if you don't share their concerns?
I say this is America. You're looking at it. And we are not going to be able to succeed in the world if we do not invite everyone to be part of our economy. Our Constitution says that we strive for a more perfect union. Well, that's what we are in doing right now. And to me, that means, one, that everyone can vote, and that includes our communities of color.
Wow, she's such a revolutionary. She thinks non-white people should vote. Whoa, wow. I thought, you know, can we get a law about this? I mean, I was unaware that only white people could vote. Oh, Amy Klobuchar, she's got the changes that we need. I think it's time. It's 2019. I know. I'm kind of a revolutionary like Amy Klobuchar. I think non-white people should be able to vote. I know. Where is my Nobel Prize? So there's the question. What do you say to white people who are concerned that the country will be majority non-white? She's like, you're looking at, this is America, you're looking at it. Okay. All right, well, what I'm looking at is a Jewish woman telling me that I need to give my country up. Is that America? It might be. It might be. It just might be. And again, this is the thing. There was a thread recently on Twitter about how Japan needed more refugees. Japan is not diverse enough. And it made me so angry because even places like Europe, like they don't, England's an island, but it lost this battle a long time ago, right? Like they're already a little bit mixed, and it's tragic and sad to see literally systematically the people of Europe being replaced by their leaders who just want a more subservient, lower class that they can dominate more easily. Like, right, that's the point of all of this. And so it's sad and tragic to see that happen, to see, pensioners who, you know, are living in government housing get kicked out so they can bring Muslims in, like all this sort of stuff, right? Japan had 20,000 applications for asylum in 2017. It accepted 20. Good. Good. Good for Japan. I said this on Twitter. I said, you know, I would love to live in Japan. I loved Japan so much. I want to go back there and I would live there if I could. But you know what? If I said, hey, can I live here? And Japan said, no, we're Japanese. I'd say, yeah, okay. Great. Good. That's why I like Japan so much. That was one of the many reasons. It wouldn't have been the same if I was walking around the city, the streets of Kyoto, looking in these big, beautiful temples, and there weren't any Japanese people there. That's what made it special, was all was this beautiful, unique culture that was so different than anywhere else I've ever experienced, and so unique because it was all Japanese people. So it's like, it's, you know, it's almost like I have to break through my own programming to go, no, you know what? It's the same way I feel about Japan that I feel about these other places. Do I not want Japan to be ruined and diversified because I'm a Japanese supremacist? Is it because I'm a white supremacist? And then, you know, so I want Japanese to be more Japanese? It makes no sense. It makes no sense, right? So I can call out the evil. I can call out the replacement of a people without it being some sort of personal, like, I'm white, so I want to defend white people and I want everybody else to go down. No, I don't want anybody replaced. I don't want anybody to be destroyed by giant multinational, you know, corporations that are just interested in maximizing profit by bringing in, you know, people who are from the third world and don't have a high standard of living. Like, we need to shed this. We need to shed this whole idea of, because I'm white, I can't protest white replacement. Because I'm white, I protest Japanese replacement. It's not because I'm white. It's just something that all humans should agree on. If you don't like what happened to the Native Americans, you shouldn't like what's happening to the Native Americans now, to the current Americans, to the Europeans, to the Irish, right? Ireland Plan 2020, Agenda 2030. They're actively, again, mask off, gloves off. They are replacing you. They are celebrating it. They're asking presidential candidates about it. And those presidential candidates are saying, get used to it. That's the way it is from now on. And you can't do anything about it. It's infuriating and it's evil. We cannot back down. Well, luckily, people are finally standing up to these Democrats. It's long overdue that we bother these people, that we get in these people's faces, that we let them know how we feel, and that they are not shielded from criticism by their ivory tower. So I want to go to a couple of these videos. This is Nancy Pelosi. This is clip number three, y'all. Nancy Pelosi confronted by a TikToker. Somebody on TikTok confronted Nancy Pelosi at a sports game of some sort. Let's play that clip.
Can I get a photo with you? We're both Niners fans, right? I just wanted to tell you, I don't like what you're doing to California.
She's just like, okay, I don't care. I don't care. You're a plebe. You're a plebeian. You think she cares? She's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. She's done nothing but be in the government. How did she make all that money? I wonder. I so wonder. Here is somebody confronting Nancy Pelosi in an alleyway. This has been censored heavily because they were cursing at her, which doesn't play well on the radio. But here was an activist confronting Nancy Pelosi in California.
Look at this piece of right here. Look at this piece of Pelosi right here. Communist. You don't belong here, you communist. Get the out of here.
Pelosi. You guys suck! Comunista!
Lit! Yeah. What's up, brother? Open up! There's some Proud Boys in here!
Cowards!
actually being called a communist, called out for what she's doing to California. That's great. That's great. You know, people need to be reminded, if you're a communist, you hate America. It's like, that's the way that it is. If you're a communist, you hate America. If you're a socialist, you're a communist. Or you're at least a convenient idiot for the communists to use to get to power. So they need to be reminded of this. And this is just the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. And I encourage this. I support this. I'm so happy that these people are finally getting a taste of their own medicine. We've been so pleasant, so polite, so restrained for so long. You took the mask off. We take the gloves off. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's confront these people. Let's let them know how we feel peacefully, right? Right? With our words, right? Let's humiliate them. Let's bring them down, okay? This happened to Joe Biden as well. Repeatedly got heckled on his campaign stops. Let's go to this video. This is Biden getting called a pervert and told to stop touching kids at a campaign stop in New Hampshire.
That's okay. Hey, this is not a Trump rally. Okay. Oh. All right. I agree with you, man. I agree. Nice talking to you.
Don't touch kids, you pervert.
All right. Well, you know, this is a democracy.
This is a democracy.
All right, I hope it does.
I can touch kids.
Let her go. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go.
So, guys, you know, he's got a lot of campaign stops to go. So there should be InfoWarriors at every one of them. And they should be letting Joe Biden know that he needs to stop touching kids. He needs to come clean about his crackhead son, that he shouldn't be running. He's too old. There's lots of ammo there. There's lots of stuff to talk about with old Joe Biden. So pick your topic, get in there and let him have it. Let him know what you think. Let's stop him from having campaign rallies anymore. It'll be embarrassing if every stop is like this.
Defending the American dream. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Under Mike Pence?
Under Barack Obama, I think.
Okay, yeah, because Obama can come back.
He come back, he can, but I think would be fine to have his wife as president.
Oh, no. Michelle Obama? Yeah.
Michelle. I think Michelle would be a good option. Yeah?
Yeah, Michelle, that's good.
Yeah, maybe since Trump's not president anymore, we should have Michelle Obama step in.
We never had to, the United States never had a woman on the top.
President Trump was just impeached.
Yep.
Yeah. Did you hear?
Most definitely. I was reading about that 10 minutes ago.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Did you read the part where President Pence actually takes office tomorrow to replace him?
No. I only heard that they were considering that this, well, yeah, about 10 minutes ago on CB News or CBS News or whatever it was. Yeah, for abuse of power and, being evasive to the Senate, I think it was.
Why does everybody think that he's out of office? He's not a president anymore.
They don't know the laws of our country.
Okay.
Right.
You support impeachment?
If he broke the law.
Did he break the law?
Don't know.
No.
Well, I don't know
it
enough
hasn't been
about.
Proven. It hasn't
I
been
really,
proven.
Yeah, I really don't know
hasn't
enough
been
about
proven.
The facts.
It's not going anywhere. Hasn't been proven.
You guys support President Trump?
I do.
Okay, wait. I thought it was. It had to go to the Senate. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. But most people don't know that.
I would love to answer some questions.
Slag.
Wait, can you answer?
I think we're experiencing some danger. President Trump just got impeached. You're rolling your eyes.
I don't agree with all that. I don't. Okay.
What happens next in the impeachment stuff? What happens next?
It's going to the House now.
From the Senate?
I mean, is it going to Senate?
Yeah.
All right. A lot of people think that he's just not the president anymore.
I don't know. He's still there.
Yeah. I don't wear my Make America Great hat, but I forgot it, so I might buy one while we're here. So okay.
President Trump just got impeached.
Right.
Do you think it's good for America now that he's out of office?
It didn't matter. No matter what, these politicians got one game or another. Yeah. You know what I mean? They swear to us by oath, and they stab us right in the back any possible way it means whatsoever. He's not better than anyone. He's not less than any one of them. Okay. Politicians got game.
What do you think about Mike Pence? He takes office tomorrow.
Let him take office. Hopefully, he'll learn from it. He'll be another Trump little link.
Okay. Right? Okay. Why are you dressed up in America stuff?
I feel like doing this. What's up? Is something wrong with it? Because the thing, the impeachment thing, no, it had nothing to do with that. I don't even watch that nonsense. It's getting so foolish. So.
But you heard in the news that he's out of office,
no,
right?
No, I didn't. You told me. I didn't know.
Okay.
No. Right. Yeah. But fine. He's out. He's out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, he handled the White House like a New Yorker, and that failed. You know, he had too much New York in him.
Yeah, it
failed,
didn't
it? You know how New Yorkers act and feel, and you know what I mean? He had too much New York in him to go up into the White House with that. That killed him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's no longer president.
Oh, that's sad. But he acted for himself, right?
Alrighty, love your outfit.
Thanks, take care, guys.
And how smart you are.
All right, folks, you can find that video at Infowars.com or band.video. Caitlin Bennett, as always, killing it on the street. You know, she's got an easy job because it's not hard to make liberals look stupid. It's really not. You just have to ask them a question and they just do all the work for you. I'm kidding. Of course, she does a fantastic job. And you can support everything that she does, everything I do, everything David Knight does, everything Owen Schroyer does. Of course, Owen Schroyer sort of kicked off this new round of activism, standing up and shouting out at Nadler that he's un-American, treasonous activities. And that's what inspired one of the Joe Biden hecklers. Since then, we've seen more hecklers interrupting Joe Biden. Let's keep that going, folks. And you can support everything that we do here by going to InfoWarsStore.com and making a purchase. And it all goes directly into the production of this show. And what Caitlin Bennett does is the all-in-one shopping location for supplements and freedom. Win-win situation there.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
Third hour of The David Knight Show begins. My name is Harrison Smith. Telling the truth in a world of lies is truly an act of rebellion against the current world order, the fiat reality in which we live. Here's a pretty good example that'll lead us into our next story and take us to our next caller, Uncle Sam, in New Orleans. Here's the opinion from Washington Post, how Ralph Northam came back from the political dead. Now, see, Ralph Northam should not be a politician anymore. He should be gone, right? He has committed the unforgivable sins of Democratic politics. He appeared in blackface and a KKK outfit, and or, I'm not, you know, he won't admit which one he is, but he definitely appeared in blackface multiple times, right? If anybody, I mean, my God, if Trump was caught with a picture in blackface in his yearbook, or any other Republican politician was caught in blackface, you know how quickly their career would be over? Now, why would it be over? Why would it be over? It would be over because the media would demand that it would be over. It would be over because the media would not let it die until the Republicans capitulated and kicked out whoever it was out of office. Do you remember earlier this year, Steve King basically was like, Representative Steve King was like, yeah, I don't know what the big deal about like white nationalism is. It's not like a real big threat. And they kicked him. They actually robbed him of real legitimate power. They kicked him off of committees for stating a fact, right? That white nationalism is not some big giant threat to our society. GOP Representative Steve King asked why white nationalists and white supremacists are offensive terms. That kicked off, I mean, just robbed of actual power, humiliated, right? Kicked off of everything, forced to apologize, grovel on his hands and knees. Why? Because the media. Because the media hyped it up. Because the media forced this type of thing, right? Ralph Northam appears in blackface immediately after coming out and saying, yes, we will kill your baby after it's born. He said that. He said that. He said, let it die. Yeah, kill it. It'll kill the baby after it's born. Okay, that's the second unforgivable sin of Democratic politics is actually saying what the Democrats want to do. You're supposed to lie, Ralph. You're supposed to obfuscate. You're supposed to use fancy words to trick people. You're not supposed to just say what you're doing. That's wrong. But he survived. It's a miracle. He came back from the political dead. They're going to frame this like it was some sort of political victory of Ralph Northam. No, this was just the media supporting him. This was just burying any talk about this. So this is the fiat reality. It's not real. Our reality is not real. It is dictated to us by the media giants who have an extreme left-wing bias. How Ralph Northam came back from the political dead. Well, he was never politically dead because he was covered for. He was, propped up. He was allowed to continue. He was allowed to weather this, seemingly unforgivable sin because he's useful to the Democrats and the media because they're liars. Because they don't care about the stuff they claim to care about. They use it as wedge issues and weapons against their political enemies. He's a political friend. Those weapons aren't used against him. That's how he survived. This isn't some amazing story of a political champion, coming back. No, he's an idiot. He's a scumbag. And he's allowed to be because the media allows it. Walter Williams warns Virginia of Governor Ralph Northam's gun registry plan. See, this is why he was allowed to continue. Because they had bigger ideas for him. He's going to be instrumental in the destruction of a once solidly Republican state. They need him for this, so they will not hold him to the same level of scrutiny that they would hold anybody else. Northam has been pushing an all-out ban on AR-15s and similar rifles for some time, but he recently changed the scope of the ban in the face of growing Second Amendment sanctuary movement. On December 10th, Breitbart News reported that Northam had changed his position from supporting an across-the-board ban on possession of such weapons to supporting a ban only in a situation where a person refuses to register the firearm with the government. The Virginia Mercury quoted Northam's spokesperson Elena Yarmosky as saying, quote, "The governor's assault weapons ban will include a grandfather clause for individuals who already own assault weapons, with the requirements being that they register their weapons before the end of the designated grace period." Oh, they give you a grace period before they take your God-given rights. They give you a nice little grace period. Walter E. Williams used a Fox News op-ed to warn Virginians not to fall for the registration trick. He said, "Knowing who owns the weapon is the first step to confiscation." And that's exactly right. No, we don't. We just want to register it. We just want a nice big list of all the guns in the state. And no reason, no particular reason. Don't worry about it. This is the incremental destruction of the Second Amendment, which is why it says shall not be infringed, not eliminated, infringed. This is an infringement. And it is one of many that will create a snowballing effect that will destroy the Second Amendment in Virginia and elsewhere. Now I want to go to this call from Uncle Sam in New Orleans, who wants to talk about the, what are they called? The red flag laws, I think. Uncle Sam, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Harrison, God bless you, sir. You do an admirable job for filling in. I sincerely hope that Alex gives you your own show because you don't miss a beat. You're excellent at what you do. And I do pray for all you guys every day. And use your supplements religiously.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I might be going to jail today. I don't know.
Really?
Sort of find out. Yesterday, if nobody knows what I do, I'm sure people at InfoWars do. I'm a street activist.
Oh, yeah. I've seen videos of you, for sure. Your Uncle Sam, who stands out in the French Quarter in New Orleans.
Thank you. And yesterday, as I was breaking down my rig, I had the two cutouts, one of Trump giving a thumbs up and one of Hillary in an orange jumpsuit and handcuffs, and then my politically incorrect art and all the Trump paraphernalia and all. Anyway, this couple walks by, and makes one of the man makes a derogatory comment about Trump. And of course, me not letting anything go by went, well, you know, why don't you clarify that? Or you can keep on walking on like most liberals do. But this guy comes back and he gets right in my face. And I say, oh, and we get into a discussion. And I says, well, you know, what do you got against Trump? Because he lies. I go, what do you see lie about? Give me a lie. And he immediately brings up Russia. And when he did that, I figured I'm dealing with a low information nitwit. Right. And so I said, look, and he says, Mueller would have found that out. Obviously, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, this. And he starts bringing up other agencies. And I says, it doesn't mean anything. There's no charges. So he starts getting in my face and calling me an a-hole, effing a-hole. So, okay, this conversation's over. So I walk away. This guy follows me, still getting in my face. Now, I'm a fairly big guy, you know, 6'1", 200 pounds. This guy towered way all over me and had another 100 pounds on me, about 6'4", 300. So I'm feeling a little threatened here. So he gets in my face. He's still calling me an a-hole. I said, listen, man, how far do you want to take this? And he goes, as far as you would like to take it. So I said, okay. So I pull out my taser, and I set off a charge, figuring, well, maybe this will back him down a bit. It only seemed to aggravate him more. You know, I'm thinking, oh, crap, you know, this guy's large enough. I do hit him with this taser, I might only get him mad. So I said, look, man, just back off. I said, this ain't going nowhere. So I put my hand on my gun, which I have on my belt, and I unbuckle it from the holster.
Wait, Uncle Sam, we're about to go to break. I'm going to leave this on a cliffhanger. Stay on the line. We'll be back to hear the rest of the story on the other side. Please don't hang up. Don't go anywhere, folks. He's got his hand on his gun, unholstering it, taser in one hand, angry, idiot liberal coming at him. I'm nervous about how this is going to end, folks. Don't go anywhere. This is the David Knight Show. We'll hear from Uncle Sam in New Orleans on the other side. Woo! Go right back out to this phone call left on a cliffhanger. Uncle Sam in New Orleans, who is famous, has gone viral. Several of his videos have gone viral over the last few years, where he stands on the corner and basically supports President Trump, and that inspires the ire and vitriol of so many passing liberals. It's usually quite fun, but the situation you're describing now, not fun at all. So you have a guy come up, he's arguing with you, you try to back away. You bring out a taser, which I assume is not the taser gun where you fire, but just the handheld little one. So you zap it. It makes a big kind of crackling, scary noise. That doesn't scare the guy away. So what happened after that, Uncle Sam?
All right. Yeah, so I put my hand on my gun and I unbuckle it. And he immediately starts screaming, he pulled a gun on me. He pulled a gun on me. So he starts dialing 911. And, okay, this is great. So he's making the phone call to the police. I continued on breaking down. Now, there were fortunately, there was a witnesses there. There was an elderly couple standing right there watching the entire thing who backed up everything I said. They said, look, this gentleman here is perfectly in his right. You were getting in his face. You were threatening him. So, you know, I asked them if they would stick around and wait for the police to show up. I have places to go, things to do. Been out there for 3 days dealing with these idiots. Maybe I should have waited. I didn't care. So I wound up leaving. Hopefully that elderly couple stayed there and told the police what they saw. So, you know, the cops would probably give it a wash. So what I have to do now is go down to the police station to see if there's a warrant out for me. I did call up and contact American Freedom Law Center, and I'm waiting on a phone call from them to find out what my next best move should be here. Yeah. So it's still a cliffhanger, but you know, I don't know whether to, you know, what's up. So that's one instance here where I don't know, you know, what is going to happen. I mean, my gun was there. I didn't pull it out. I didn't point it at the guy. None of that. I didn't threaten him with that. I did nothing with the taser I did other than set it off, hopefully, like, you know, just to rattle him to get him away.
Yeah.
But so the guy was huge, though, huge and angry, so I don't know. Scared me, that's for damn sure. Unfortunately,
yeah,
I didn't have my cameras on as I was breaking down. Otherwise, I would have caught this entire incident on camera, which would have further protected me. So that's what, it's another thing I don't have going.
Wow. Well, I'm going to ask that you stay on the line even after we hang up and maybe give some of your information to the crew, because I'd love to follow up on this. Make sure you're not going to prison. You know, I'd like to find out what happens here. I wonder if the guy actually filed a report or not. You know, hopefully not. But, you know, this could have gone much worse. You know, at least he had the sense to back up and not continue to come after you once he knew that you had a gun. I mean, we've seen that situation. You can be completely in your right. You can be being attacked. You can be like George Zimmerman, having your head slammed into the concrete. But still, you know, if you use your gun, people will, your whole life could be ruined. So, you know, thankfully things didn't go down the drain with you. I imagine you get a lot of trouble.
I've been doing this long enough where I've checked the laws and I know how far I can push that envelope. And once he got in my face and threatened me physically, because once I did the taser thing, he says, if you hit me with that, you're going to the hospital. So right. I said, okay, this ain't going anywhere. But anyway, if people want to support me, you can go to my website and, you know, just it's Badass Uncle Sam at YouTube and or my website. You can go ahead and help me to, you know, contribute if you'd like. If I have any legal fees, I have to, you know, have to incur a lawyer or whatnot.
And, well, if that's the case, I definitely would like to invite you back on to tell your story again. Hopefully that won't be, you know, knock on wood. We'll hope that the guy didn't file anything, or, you know, you'll be okay.
Well, I'm sure that the police probably responded to a 911 call. That's almost given. As I said, my only hope is that the elderly couple stuck around there. They said they would, and that they would talk to the police and give my side of the story of what they witnessed.
Right.
I also have a witness from across the street, a vendor from across the street that would back me up. So if this were to go to court, I think with the eyewitnesses I have, I probably wouldn't be found guilty. But, you never know. I mean, it's a liberal city. It's liberal judges. It's 60% of the police force is liberal, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. So you never know what's going to happen with this kind of stuff.
Well, so, I know you are very good. I know I've seen a lot of videos for you. I know you're a big supporter of InfoWars and Alex Jones and President Trump. And, you know, thank goodness, you know, I've been to New Orleans fairly recently. And it's like, thank goodness there are people like you out there actually putting forward, you know, positive vibes and standing up for the president, because all you see there are these like really perverted activists just really trying to tear everything down. It's very sad because you're in this beautiful, you know, historically Catholic city with these beautiful churches, and outside is just the most degenerate, filthy kind of perverted stuff. And so it's always refreshing seeing someone like Uncle Sam there. So give us the website one more time so people can go and support you and find out what's going on with you. Is it badassunclesam.com?
Yeah, badassunclesam.com, and it's Badass Uncle Sam and YouTube, either one. And the next time you're in town, Harrison, stop by, man.
I will. I don't know how I missed you last time.
I'm at the right at the beginning of the French Market, so you can't miss me. I'm there Friday, Saturday, and Sundays, most depending on weather, of course. And can't miss me. I'm out there in my Uncle Sam outfit and the big display. And
I am kind of like an oasis
in that liberal cesspool. It's amazing how many people come by with a, you know, and are surprised to see me out there.
Right. Yeah. And it's refreshing. And I'll tell you, I have family in New Orleans. I've spent a lot of time in New Orleans and I love that city. And it's to see what is being done to it and the way it's collapsing into, I mean, it's always been a den of vice, you know, we're not fooling anybody, but man, recently, and like there were people just trying to preach the gospel on the corner and were just being shouted down by like this group of people who are just the most obnoxious, annoying people, blowing horns, blowing whistles, shouting. And this guy's just trying to preach the gospel on the corner of one of the oldest and most beautiful Catholic churches in America. But he can't, he's not allowed to do that anymore. And Uncle Sam,
I call it the home of the alcoholic Peter Pans.
I've been on a couple streets. I think that was the name of a bar on one of them. But tell you what, stay on the line. Uncle Sam, I'd love to get your information so we can follow up and make sure that everything's good with you. I've got a couple callers who've called in during your call to maybe give you some advice or help you out. So we'll go to those calls on the other side. And then Jefferson in Virginia taking more of your calls as we finish out this David Knight Show. This is Harrison Smith.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight today. We just heard from badass Uncle Sam, who you may recognize from videos that have gone viral of him standing out on the corner in New Orleans, in the French Quarter, supporting the president and always being harassed by the liberals there. And we've got a couple people who want to give Uncle Sam advice about maybe what he should do or should have done. So let's go out to these calls now. This is Jonathan from Virginia, has some advice for Uncle Sam. What do you got for us, Jonathan?
Hey, quick plug, DNA Force, Got It, Brain Force, Ultimate Krill Oil, Ultimate Fish Oil, Bodies, Survival Shield, X2, Ultra 12, Super Male Vitality, and I've got the Alexa Pure Breeze right behind me. Anyway, hey, I was just trying to say he needs to sign up for USCCA. If you go to USCCA.com, sign up for the elite membership. It's $47 a month. I'm reading it right now. It says civil defense and damages protection up to $2 million. Criminal defense, bail bond funding, and attorney retainer, $250,000. And it starts right as soon as you sign up, it starts. You know, so you get all those assets. If Uncle Sam looks into that, I'm sure it'll give them, you know, a lot better peace of mind and what happened. But if you sign up, you get all that. It doesn't matter if it happened, you know, a day ago or 2 days ago, you know, you'll be covered. So yeah. I just wanted to call in and let him know, you know, he needs to look into that and maybe get a membership.
Yeah, that's definitely good advice. I'm not sure exactly about the organization you're talking about. I don't want to endorse anybody without knowing it, but I know that there are a lot of sort of insurance companies out there that do this type of insurance where if you were to get into a situation where you're forced to use your gun, there's going to be legal fees. You're going to risk jail time. Even if you're as heroic as you know, anybody is, Jack Wilson of the White Settlement Church who brought down that gunman, you know, even he could be potentially charged for something.
Right.
Anytime you use your gun, you're going to be in that sort of legal situation. So if you're going to be carrying, especially if you're going to be doing something like Uncle Sam is doing, where you're going to have insane people coming up to you and trying to fight you, you got to have some sort of coverage like this or else you're going to risk big legal fees. So I think that's very good advice. Thank you so much, Jonathan, in Virginia, for being a loyal supporter and some great advice. Thank you so much. Let's go to Chad in Baton Rouge. Who has some advice for Uncle Sam? I agree with what I think you're about to say, Chad. If it's what the notes are, but you know, in his situation, we'll see. So, Chad, what's your advice for Uncle Sam?
Well, first thing, he needs to go up the NOPD.
and turn himself in because he could be very liable for looting. He's got witnesses, so that's not the big question. The question is he didn't stick around to talk to the cops. Right. And I'm at work, so I really got to go.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Chad from Baton Rouge. Yeah, so Chad's advice was that Uncle Sam should have stayed around. I have to agree, if someone's going to call the cops on you, and especially if you're sort of a well-known person in the community, I mean, the cops are going to know who you are. They're going to know where to find you. So, yeah, you got to stay around. Just like a car accident or something, even if it's not your fault, if the other person's calling cops, you got to stay or else it might look bad. But, of course, you know, it's hard to say. Nothing actually happened, right? The gun was never drawn. There's no physical contact being made as far as we know. We don't even know if the guy really called the cops or not. You know, some people just say that they're doing that, but they really aren't. So I don't know if you're expecting him to stand around and wait for the cops to maybe come or maybe not. Obviously the cops aren't there and he's fleeing from them, right? So I can't say that necessarily he's done anything wrong. I don't think, they're going to be able to say that he somehow committed a crime and then fled the scene. Doesn't sound like a crime was committed. Just because somebody calls the cops on you doesn't mean you're required to even talk to them or stay or anything. I mean, I could call the cops on the switchboard operator and, he wouldn't be wrong by leaving because of that. And I might, Matt, you watch out. No, but it's a tough situation. Obviously, you know, did what he thought was best at the time, and I think he is going to turn himself in. That's what he said, or at least give them a call and say, hey, if there's anything you need, let me know. He usually has cameras running all the time. I would say maybe add an extra cam, maybe add a little lapel cam that's just running the whole time, just so while you're breaking down, you still have that little piece of evidence there in case something is gonna happen. But it's a crazy world, crazy, crazy world that we live in. I just saw this headline on True Pundit. And this, you know, I really hate admitting that I'm jealous of China sometimes, but man, there are some things to be jealous about China for. First of all, any sort of new cool construction going on, it's going to be in China. Any sort of, awesome technology being rolled out on a massive scale, it's going to be China. Of course, they also have the facial recognition technology and the, you know, concentration camps and all these horrible things. But at the same time, they're building these like amazing airports. They're building these amazing bridges, and just the infrastructure they're coming out with is absolutely incredible. And meanwhile, everything here is just falling apart and collapsing because our leaders have sold us out to China over the last many years. But here's the headline that I'm a little jealous of. CEO of Chinese bank sentenced to death for stealing $100 million. Yeah. Sounds about right. Meanwhile, in America, we can't even get like regulation passed, right? Like if we try to just put some sort of stopgap measure on just the insane casino level manipulation of the stock market, we can't do that. We can't get that done. China kills the people that are stealing all the money. We give them the money, right? We, as American taxpayers, award the $100 million bonuses to these people from the taxpayers' money to the bankers for having screwed us over. Thank you, sir. Here, have $100 million out of our money. In China, you steal $100 million, you get the needle. You know, maybe we need to take a little lesson from this. Maybe the bankers, maybe the manipulators, maybe the credit card companies and all these people who are largely responsible for the inflation and the fiat reality that we live in, maybe they would think twice if they knew that they would be publicly executed for being a little dishonest in their dealings. Maybe that would solve everything in just one or two. And just make an example of one or two of them. Or I don't know, you know, the people that have created the opioid epidemic and purposefully created the largest drug epidemic and addiction catastrophe the world has ever seen. Oh, but they just withdraw billions of dollars and skedaddle off to whatever offshore, island is hiding their cash. No punishment, right? No worries. Don't worry about it. The company's hiring illegal immigrants and you know, just making bank and pocketing the change and getting rid of the American jobs and bringing in foreigners and moving on that way. Hey, they, you know, maybe if just one of those CEOs was busted, maybe if one of those elites was brought down, you don't even have to kill him. Just put him in jail for life. Just stick him in a concrete cell. And then from then on, every other corrupt jackass with power will have to think, now, wait. Is this worth it? Is this money worth it? Is this, you know, is improving my life ever so slightly? Is it worth it? Or am I going to spend the rest of my miserable life alone and I'll never see the sun again? Maybe, maybe they need to put that into their mind when they're making these considerations. And that might create a better world for everyone. I don't know. I don't know. Justice, maybe a little bit of justice is called for. And what a world, what a sad state of affairs that we have to look to China for an example of this. But, you know, we've been taken over. We've been dominated. We are now subjects of the international banking cabal. I think we break out in 2020. I think 2020 is the year that we turn all this around. We'll take your calls on the other side. Last segment begins in a minute. Final segment of the David Knight Show for this, the 30th of December, 2019. We're going to close it out on your calls. It's Jefferson in Virginia and Tyson in Oklahoma. Jefferson, you've been holding for a while. Thank you so much for holding for us. Jefferson from Virginia, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Good morning, Harrison.
Good morning.
I don't think there's any maybe about it. If you're going to be involved in street interviews or confronting politicians, you better be wearing a body camera, and a good thing to do would be have one that points behind you so you're seeing what's happening behind you with security and things of that nature.
Oh, and they're so cheap now, man. You can go to Best Buy or CVS has little tiny cameras that are like no bigger than a sugar cube for like $20. So yes, you need one of those. Go grab one if you're going to do any sort of activism whatsoever. Just keep it rolling all day. At the end of the day, if nothing's happened, wipe the card and do it again. Yes, I totally agree, Jefferson. Thank you.
And I don't know what the battery limitations are on the little cheap ones, but they don't have to always be on. But anytime you're breaking down your equipment so they know your camera's not on or they can slap it out of your hand or something, you better have a body camera running when you're doing something, because it was no accident that that guy came up to Uncle Sam when he was breaking down. He wanted that confrontation, and he assumed there was no camera to document.
And, you know, you reminded me of something I wanted to say on the line with Uncle Sam, so sorry for cutting you off here, but you're right that he comes up and he wanted this confrontation. This is something that liberals do. This is a tactic that I have personally experienced over and over and over again. Every time you go and have any sort of confrontation with liberals, they try to antagonize you to do something. So like there will be a thing where I've got my big camera thing and I'll like run into you know, one of the liberal guys, and, you know, it's like soccer player. They throw their arms and they go down. They start yelling for the cops. They start going, this guy attacked me. This guy attacked me. This guy attacked me. And you're sitting there going, no, I didn't. What are you talking about? But that's a tactic that they do. So I don't know. That just reminded me of that when you said that they are looking for this confrontation, because they totally are. They'll get in your face. They'll, you know, it's like the, but I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. And then the moment you slap their hand away, they go, oh, cops, they attacked me, assaulted me. So it's like, don't give them what they want. Defend yourself. Don't let them attack you. But they are looking for this type of confrontation so then they can use the law against you. And you know how the law is applied. Guy got 15 years for setting a LGBT flag on fire, right? The laws are not evenly applied. And if they can get the media to portray it and get the, you know, liberal courts to believe that you're some sort of hateful person and that putting you away is for the greater good, they will throw the book at you. So you got to be careful. You got to be prepared. And you cannot let them antagonize you into doing something stupid that they can then they use against you. So sorry for interrupting, Jefferson. Take it away.
I don't know. You're the host. You can do what you like. But they're just trying to take you off the field of debate by ensnaring you in the legal system and having you deal with that situation. My bigger topic was lies of omission on energy. Peter Navarro was talking to Steve Bannon on his War Room show back day after Christmas, I think, and Zero Hedge covered it. And they were talking about energy and fossil fuels and how all the liberals want to get rid of fossil fuels. And then they moved on to nuclear power, and Bannon had actually dragged this out of Navarro. He said, what about nuclear? You always leave nuclear out of the equation. So Navarro finally admits, well, over DOE, they're actually doing some good work on next-generation reactor technology. And this is what you and I talked about maybe 6 months ago.
Yeah,
is the thorium fuel cycle.
Yep.
But you always have to drag this out of people. Then they act like it's always 5 years away. It's like fusion is always 20 years away.
Right. We've had it since the 40s. So what are they talking about?
Right. But they want to withhold it. It's not something they want the public to know about, because what happens if you have essentially unlimited energy?
Yeah, the whole globalist system falls apart. I mean, the fact that the petrodollar is what's keeping up the global system, they have to keep the oil around, or else, you know, the entire economy collapses. It's a Ponzi scheme. This is all a fiat reality that we're living in. Is that what you're getting at?
Partially, yes. But the funny thing is, Zero Hedge wrote a transcript for the entire interview. And when you get to that point in the interview on the transcript, they leave the entire nuclear discussion out. Somebody's making a decision to always leave nuclear and next generation thorium technology out of the discussion. Unless you seriously look for it in a serious manner, you're never going to find it. Nobody wants to admit it exists, because it would change the dynamic of the world so radically that the breakaway society doesn't want the rest of us to know there are solutions to our problems. They want us to fight thinking there are no solutions to our problems.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then, of course, you know, the Green New Deal, again, I'll say it again for the whatever 12th time this episode, gloves off, masks off. The Green New Deal was like, oh, we want to solve climate change. We want to solve global warming. Institute socialism. You must accept socialism, socialism, socialism. And it's like, okay, there's not even discussion about how this could possibly help the greenhouse gases or whatever it is you're claiming to help. There's no talk about nuclear. There's very little talk about alternative sources of any sort, especially some of the ones that we know are available but are hidden. It's all just an excuse to implement socialism. So it's like nuclear energy doesn't help them institute socialism, so they're not interested in it. They don't care. Same way that, like, I would be interested if it was like, oh, you're going to this is a program where America is going to buy huge swaths of the Amazon and turn them into parkland, you know, and not allow anybody to destroy it or strip mine it or whatever. It's like, I would be in favor of something like that, of actual protection of the earth, of actual preserving of ecosystems and animals and nature. Like, I'm for that, but the Green New Deal does nothing to satisfy that. You know, if you're ignoring nuclear energy, you're not serious about getting off of fossil fuel. So, yeah, you're exactly right. And that's very weird. So do you think Zero Hedge was the one that cut out the discussion of nuclear energy?
In the transcript, it's clear that they covered everything but that discussion on nuclear power. They deliberately left that out for some reason. In the total energy dominance section, it's disturbing. But you know, the safe thorium reactors would put millions of Americans to work building them, and there's no meltdown problem. So it's amazing. It would be a jobs works program, but with good paying jobs, people working, and it would restore the middle class. But I'm not sure we're into that.
No. Well, the people that are in charge are certainly not into that sort of thing. That's like kryptonite to them.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks so much. You're regular caller, always good information from Jefferson from Virginia. Thank you so much for the call. All right, let's finish out with Tyson in Oklahoma. Has some words of encouragement for Uncle Sam. Tyson in Oklahoma, you're on the air.
Harrison, can you hear me pretty well?
I hear you clear and plain and coming through fine.
Nice, because I'm Snapchatting this. Hey, I'm going to plug some product. X2 is awesome. I've been on it for about 6 months. It clears my mind. I feel sharper. I could actually tell when it clicked in. You know, when it kicked in,
yeah,
it was outstanding. Also,
that's great.
Super Blue, I use it all the time. It makes my teeth feel great, if that's the thing. Mine feel better after using Crest for years. Also, the shirts are awesome. The stickers, I took advantage of that sticker bomb. Let me just say that helps out a lot in spreading the word. I won't mention the ways, but my encouragement to Uncle Sam, he now has the full support of an army of info warriors now.
Yes,
and
sir.
I guarantee you Robert Barnes is going to hear that directly, his call-in. So it's going to be all right, Uncle Sam. We're going to get through it. And also, I promised my girlfriend, if I ever called in and y'all took my call, I was going to out Greg Reese as the janitor from Scrubs. I found
what?
Bill Hicks is Alex Jones, right? Well, Greg Reese, the other reporter for InfoWars, that's just the janitor from Scrubs.
He looks nothing like him, though. I don't understand.
Bull, man, it looked just like him. I said, and everyone cracks up. That guy looks like janitor, if y'all remember Scrubs. But
you think
right.
that
that's
looks like Greg Reese? Come on.
A little bit.
All right, we're going to look into it. We're going to get to the bottom of this. Greg Reese is the janitor.
I love you, Greg Reese. Your reports are hard-hitting, brother. I use Greg Reese's reports to wake my girlfriend up. So that's all I got, man.
That's great.
I got to go run some errands. You take it easy, Harrison. Thanks. You're doing a great job. I hope you get your own show on InfoWars one day.
Well, thank you very much, Tyson. Tyson in Oklahoma. Thanks for your support, and thanks for the call. We'll get to the bottom of this this Greg Reese imposter syndrome. But folks, if you want to support Greg Reese, if you want to support me, if you want to support everything that we do here, it's a one-stop shop. It's InfoWarsStore.com. You support the reports from Greg Reese that are groundbreaking and easily accessible to anybody. You don't need to already be aware of what's going on in order to enjoy a Greg Reese report. You support me coming in and sitting in for Owen Schroyer or David Knight. You support them as well in our ever increasing and ever more victorious battle against the New World Order, fighting for human freedom worldwide. This is Harrison Smith signing off. I'll be back tomorrow hosting the David Knight Show as David recovers. Join me then. The Alex Jones Show starts in 1 minute. Don't go anywhere, folks.